Prescott W.W., Irwin G.A., Jones A.T., Smith U., Wagoner, February 22, 1899. Elders Prescott, Irwin, Jones, Smith, and Wagoner. Dear brethren, I have written to Brother John Kellogg in regard to matters which should come before him, asking him not to pursue a course which will in any wise detract from his influence. The Lord has greatly exalted and blessed his servant, Dr. Kellogg. He has used him to honor his name upon the earth and to give character to the work. Dr. Kellogg has been obtaining a most precious experience. But there are some who have acted as though they had been appointed to work against him. The Lord has reproved their course of action. They knew not that they were working on Satan's side of the question. As men and women have thus worked out their own attributes, this has been a hindrance to the doctor. His brethren have had evidence that he has been working in accordance with the will of God. But although they have had light on this point, they have not all stood by his side to help him. Some have held up his hands, but others have not heeded the admonitions given. Every evidence that could be given has been given, but some have shown that they have not practiced self-denial. They have not taken up the cross to follow Christ. Such ones reveal the principles which have corrupted them. Those who refused the warnings of God followed a course of action which has brought its sure result. These influences have sometimes made the work of Dr. Kellogg doubly as hard as it should have been. They have led him to stand apart to some degree from the ministry. I desire to present matters as they are presented to me. Such a spirit of criticism and fault-finding has done the work Satan designed should be done. Dr. Kellogg has been led to take the course he deemed it his duty to take. He has not connected with those who were not in sympathy with the work he knew to be of God. Our people have not all appreciated as they should the man through whom God has worked, and with whom he has cooperated upon the subject of health reform. They have not reasoned from cause to effect to understand how great was the blessing of the sanitarium at Battle Creek under the management of Dr. Kellogg and his faithful associates. Through this work, the truths of the third angel's message have entered where it would otherwise have been very difficult for them to find entrance. But the perceptions of our people have been blinded. They have not felt that the Lord has greatly honored his people in establishing the sanitarium, which for influence and success has not yet been surpassed. Why cannot the churches see that the sanitarium has success because the Lord is especially at work to make it a place where the truth may be made known in a way that will recommend it to all classes, where it will be made manifest that God is honored, and that the truth of his word is the abiding principle by which all work? This institution has been the means of elevating the truth and bringing it before thousands. The religious influence which pervades the institution inspires the patients with confidence. The assurance they have that the Lord presides over the sanitarium, the many prayers offered for the sick, does much to soothe their nerves. Many men and women who have never before thought of the value of their souls are convicted by the Spirit of God that they have made a mistake. They have put worldly position, human wisdom and wealth in the place of God and heaven. Careless, irreligious souls, full of pride and self-love, stand, as it were, before the bar of God to consider their past and future, and not a few change the whole course of their life. Man has inherited an intense desire to save himself and thus show his independence. Impressions that will never be effaced have been made upon self-righteous souls, who have thought their own standard of character sufficient, who have felt no need of Christ's righteousness. When the future test comes, when enlightenment comes to them, they will take their stand for truth. The God of heaven is honored by an institution managed in this way. The Battle Creek Sanitarium was established in the order of God, that men and women might better understand the virtues of the tree of life. In his mercy, God has made the sanitarium such a power in the relief of physical suffering that thousands are drawn to it to be cured of their maladies, and very often they are not only cured physically, but from the Savior they receive the forgiveness of their sins, and they identify themselves completely with Christ, with his interests, his honor. Their sins are taken away, and are placed at Christ's account. His righteousness is imputed to them. The healing balm is applied to the soul. They receive the grace of Christ and go forth to impart to others the light of truth. The Lord makes them his witnesses. Their testimony is, "He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. They never forget the prayers, the songs of praise and thanksgiving that they heard while at the sanitarium. Can we realize how much God is glorified by this work? The Lord has connected Dr. Kellogg with the medical fraternity outside our people. His influence has had much to do with the abolishing of drugs, to a large extent, and the introduction of nature's own restoratives. This work has not been done by making a raid upon drugs, for it needed the wisdom of a serpent and the harmlessness of a dove. Dr. Kellogg's connection with God enables him to take the presence of the Holy Spirit with him into assemblies, where there is generally much levity, and where many things are spoken that might better be left unsaid. The people respect the doctor's religious principles and show that they are somewhat under the influence of this faith. The Lord would have his people awake and realize that Dr. Kellogg is and must be connected with God, and is as firm as a rock to the principles of our faith. The Lord has given him knowledge and understanding. The singular success of the sanitarium at Battle Creek is a wonderful mystery to all. God has planned the whole thing, that men in the highways as well as in the byways should be brought in connection with Dr. Kellogg and his associates and the Bible instruction given. Thus, they are continually being educated. Everything in this line that the physicians have done gives glory and praise to him who is behind the physicians. All believers in the truth have cause to show much gratitude that we have such an institution as the sanitarium. Also, that God works with his instrumentalities, Dr. Kellogg and his co-workers, who are accepted in the Beloved. These influences are to be appreciated. The Lord will sustain and uphold Dr. Kellogg as his man of opportunity, just as long as Dr. Kellogg will stand true and steadfast to the principles of truth. The Lord sees the work he is doing in the medical missionary line. This work is not in any wise to stand separate from the ministry. The ministry must not be divorced from this work, and the Lord would have the church act a part in this work. Every talent in our churches should be employed in the work of doing good. The rough places of nature, the wild places, God has made attractive by placing beautiful things among the most unattractive. This is the work we are called to do. But the medical missionary work must not become disproportionate. It must be a work that is in order with the rest of the work. Dr. Kellogg is in danger of gathering altogether too many burdens. His influence is to be decidedly felt in the sanitarium. It is needed there more largely, and with his workers he is to continue to exert the influence on the people that he has exerted in the past. The extra burdens he takes endanger his usefulness. The Lord would have Dr. Kellogg preserve his life, that he may do the work and exert the influence needed in the management of the sanitarium. His voice can do more at times than the voices of 10 of his co-workers. There are wheels within wheels, and it is not a small matter to keep these wheels in such order that they can accomplish the work. The Lord's eye is upon you, Dr. Kellogg. The light given by God is that there are dangers you need to avoid. God's work in many lines is to be done. Your voice and the voices of your associate physicians are needed in our camp meetings. You need to give lessons upon health reform, upon the necessity of preventing disease. But the Lord has not laid upon you the burden of presenting the importance of working all together for the outcasts. That is a part of the work which will come. I am told to warn you that there is danger here. While you may present the favorable things, there are a flood of things that are unfavorable that all will not meet intelligently. This work needs to be guarded most strenuously. At the present time, the means from the churches must not be diverted into so many different channels that the treasury is emptied. Our people need to be faithful in paying their tithe, that the ministry may be supported and the necessary work done in this line. Many more camp meetings must be held. Efforts are to be put forth for the people all through the camp meeting. Visiting is to be done. Words in season are to be spoken. Efforts are to be made to make the meetings revival meetings. And after the camp meetings, the work is not to cease.
Ye have not chosen me, Christ said, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. God's servants are to watch and pray, losing no opportunity of speaking a word for Christ, or of giving away a paper or a tract. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ's love for souls will fill the heart of the sincere worker. It is a most deplorable thing that any human being should stray from God. Those who have any connection with God will work to help sinners, and there is to be perfect unity among all the workers in God's great moral vineyard. Most earnest work should be done in a camp meeting from the commencement to the close. There should be those who can conduct children's meetings. In our camp meeting at Newcastle, Sister Peck took up this work, with several interested workers under her direction. These meetings were continued all through the camp meeting and are still being held. After the camp meeting is over, ministers should be left to follow up the work, with those who can be educated to give Bible readings and trained as missionary workers. This work requires a treasury enriched by the tithe and by gifts and offerings. The Lord works, and His servants work, watching for souls as they that must give an account. The promised Spirit comes from God, who gives the increase. God sends His servants to a place, and they must work with all their united energies to present the Word in its simplicity. The conscience is enlightened. A sense of sin is felt. The explanation of sin is given as John has given it. Sin is the transgression of the law. Most earnest work is to be done in every place where camp meetings are held. There are now in Brisbane, as the result of the camp meeting and the gathering in work, about 40 believers and others are being added to the number. Let all God's workers study the plan of salvation and think what the working out of that plan cost. Calvary speaks with all its agony of suffering. There the Son of God died to secure eternal life for those who receive Him. No one but Christ can make man partaker of the divine nature. Only His human hands, pierced on Calvary's cross, can lay hold of fallen man and uplift him.